This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Oh, he's got a smirk on his face, which means he's got a WhatsApp message. What's going on?
Yeah, so we have another message from Benjamin who says, Lego out of sugarcane, sweet.
Yay!
I like Benjamin.
Benjamin, keep them coming in, my friend. 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio or, of course, on Insta Story at BFM Radio. They're called sugar blocks, Ben. But it is sweet, yes. Right, let me tell you about this then. So here we go. Danish toy maker Lego have high ambitions for their sustainability program. By 2030, the company intends to manufacture most of its products and packaging using environmentally friendly materials or recycled sources. Good for Lego. In 2018, that's this year, in case you didn't know, guys, the company took its first step towards these goals by introducing plastic blocks made of plant-based materials in the shape of plants. The company announced the introduction of sustainable Lego blocks in March of this year. From August the 1st, they'll be available to customers in selected countries. They haven't said which countries yet before you start asking. The plants from plants, set number 40320. That's if you're a Lego fan, 40320 will be included free of charge for all purchases over $40 from the official Lego online store in the UK and others, Germany and Austria between August 1st and 17th, as well as in the United States and Canada between August 1st and 14th. Elements of this set will also appear in other sets of blocks over the course of 2018. So the new blocks are 98% polyethylene made from sugarcane. The material use of sugarcane plastics is in line with the guidelines of LEGO's partners worldwide, World Wildlife Fund, but LEGO blocks are still not biodegradable yet. At the LEGO Group, we want to make a positive impact on the world around us and are working hard to make great play products for children using sustainable materials. That's according to the Vice President, Tim Brooks, of the Environmental Responsibility Group at the LEGO Group.
So mm-hmm. If this is plastic made out of plants, does it mean it's a plant stick?
It's a plant stick. So we have
I don't even know what to say to that.
We have sugar blocks and plant stick.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Yes. This sounds really nice
but
incredibly sustainable.
But
sugar cane uses an awful lot of land and needs an awful lot of water. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at reports about sugar cane growth over in Florida, where they are one of the major kind of suppliers of this. And there's been an awful lot of complaints in recent years from local residents about how their water levels have dropped because of sugarcane plantations, and how some of the local wildlife has been kicked out of the area because of these sugarcane plantations. So you kind of, you know, it's a seesaw kind of situation, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think a lot of kind of efforts to make not environmentally friendly things environmentally friendly will run into roadblocks like that, though.
Right?
You know, roadblocks. Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to Lego pun there, but I accidentally did. Anyway, not the
just
point.
Just Lego.
Nice. The point is that, you know, I think that it's good that Lego is trying to make a step towards some form of sustainability. You know, but I don't know if this is the right way. I think there's other ways that you could maybe approach that, but it's good that they're at least aware that, you know, they should maybe try to move towards being environmentally friendly.
I think it's also good that they are taking their time. Like, they say that most products by 2030, so that's like what, 12 years from now.
Yeah.
Normally you see like people and you can tell that Lego sort of they are taking like they don't want to jump on that bandwagon. They want to do it properly, even though the sugarcane thing that might be an issue for them in the future. You can see like a lot of people who want to go on this non-plastic thing, jumping on a bandwagon when they're not sure how to implement it. It's just like the cool thing to do, like be like eco-friendly and stuff. But by giving them like 12 years to sort of figure it out, I think that's enough time for them to take like a completely sustainable approach.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we all done?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much time for us to wrap up, right? But folks, you know, if you're stuck with something to do tomorrow night, you could do worse than going to a networking session that we are hosting, just to let you know about this. It's called Having a Bite with Bytes, Going Digital with F&B. It's with Jonathan Wines.
No, I believe that there's actually going to be a replacement.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan has pulled out, hasn't he?
Not exactly pulled out, but he's actually in a couple of meetings for some funding purposes.
But it is somebody from Damaka.
But it is someone from Damaka, regardless.
Correct. And then we have Rashid Chukor from GrabFood and Fong Wai Hong of StarHub. They will be there. This is happening tomorrow at 5:30 until 9 p.m. It's at the Yellow Brick Road Cafe. We have 70 places spaces. There's a few spaces left if you're interested in heading over there. Let us know. You can get more information at bfm.my/network series. bfm.my/network series. That's what we've got coming up. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, it's time for us to wrap up. But before we do that, let's quickly run through the stories that we covered today. We started off, of course, with the new digital divide that's being born, allegedly, over in Japan with young people who don't know how to use a keyboard.
And then we talked about how young people who do know how to use a keyboard, who hack into stuff, are trying to be reformed by a UK program that's trying to show them that they're good for society.
I'm going to remember today's podcast because like 25 years from now, I want to see if we can look back at this and go like, this is the day the keyboard went extinct.
Mm.
You know, that'll be interesting. We also spoke about how Japanese students are using VR to recreate the Hiroshima bombing.
And then we had Ben's sweet story about Lego sugar blocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
Yay.
We wrapped up with. Mm-hmm. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget, you can download the podcast. It is available at bfm.my/podcasts or on our app, which is available from the Apple Store or from Google Play. That's all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. But don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. As the Malaysian insurance landscape undergoes a period of transformation, how are players adapting to set themselves apart from the competition? The Breakfast Grill spoke to Rohit Nambiar, the CEO of AXA Affin, on their strategy to capture market share through digital disruption. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Meanwhile, we've got some music from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club coming up with Spread Your Love. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.